welcome to Tea and Strumpets, a Regency romance review. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Kelsey.
And today, it's finally here. We are beginning our 8-episode recap of Bridgerton Netflix.
Oh, and yeah. We've only been talking about this show for over a year. And now it's time to talk about all the wonderfulness.
It is so true. And so before we jumped into the episode today, I wanted to talk a little bit about how these episodes are going to go. So on each of these episodes, we are going to be joined by a fabulous guest or two. And we're going to be talking about the Netflix episode itself in the first half of our episode. We'll do a little recap and then we'll do a discussion, maybe talk about some, certain things that we're going to be discussing with that guest specifically. But then after our parlor, we are going to be talking all the spoilers. So if you are watching just now, or you've only watched some of the episodes, once we get to our ad break in the middle, which we call the parlor, that's your cue to press pause, watch the series, and come back and listen to our guests' thoughts on the whole series after our breaks. So, on that note, today we are joined by Insta blogger Corey Kelly. And thank you, Corey, so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been so excited.
Well, we're so excited that you are here for our very first episode of our Bridgerton TV show discussion.
I feel special.
So do you want to tell our listeners a little bit more about you and what you do?
Sure. I'm a stay-at-home, work-at-home mom. I have two teenage sons, so we homeschool and do all the things. And I have two businesses that I run, self-care based. And then on the Facebook side, I have some projects that I'm working on that are very near and dear and important to me. One is Culture 101. It's a group that I created for authors to be able to have a safe space to ask questions to people from all backgrounds and ethnicities, you know, that because some authors, you know, want to write color in their books, but are apprehensive because they don't know where to start. And I am a big advocate for writing diversely, as long as it's written responsibly, using sensitivity readers and things like that. So I have a group full of sensitivity readers from all different places and all over the world. And so whatever an author needs, I pretty much know who to ask to connect them with. And yeah, it's just, I'm in love with it, the whole thing. So, and then I have a street team that helps get the word out about different diverse romances that may be hidden, you know, that people may not know about or may not know that an author writes diversely, you know, and just kind of spotlighting them.
That is really important work that you're doing and really exciting to hear about. Here on our podcast, we talk about historical romance and specifically Regency romance, which is about as white,
which is my favorite. And so,
cis. Well, and it's my favorite, you know, it's our favorite too. But at the same time, we always are talking about how we really want to see more diversity out there. So
I think it's coming.
I know. I'm hoping that Bridgerton has also helped open the doors, but we'll talk more about that later. I know. So that's why even sometimes we review books that we don't necessarily love, but that we think there should be more books like that. And so we want to bring that to the spotlight. And so that's really exciting to hear about, you know, your projects and, you know, your street team, because a lot of the time those diverse books are really hard to find.
They truly are hidden gems. So I like uncovering them one by one and showcasing them to the book verse.
Fantastic. But then again, anytime more books come into my radar, I'm ready for it.
The struggle is real.
So now that we've talked about what you and you do, all this fabulous work, we want to talk about books in general, specifically the Bridgerton books and what your relationship to them is.
I read them about a year and a half ago. I started and just devoured them, like just one by one. They just took over my world. I fell in love with the family. Anthony Bridgerton is bae. What can I say? He's my favorite. And then started chatting like with Julia Quinn some, and she's just so cool and just down to earth, you know. And I don't know. I'm in love with the whole series. So I've been waiting, like you, for this TV series, like, with bated breath.
Got the announcement and it's like, okay, yes. All the updates now. Yes.
Well, I was going to ask the next question, which is, do you have a favorite book or character and why? You've sort of already answered it, but do you want to elaborate a little bit more?
The Viscount Who Loved Me and When He Was Wicked. Those two are my favorite.
Oh my gosh, yes. Those are so good. So in anticipation of this show, but also just because we're a book review show, we've done all the Bridgerton books on our podcast. And it was really funny because I read them almost a decade ago.
Wow.
I was rereading them. And When He Was Wicked, like, just touched me in my soul. I don't remember it resonating so much, but I think I'm older and, you know, I've gone through a bit more life. And just to read that story was just like, I felt all the things, and I was like, why did I not remember this book being so fabulous? I mean, I knew I loved the Viscount Who Loved Me, like Anthony and Kate. But getting to When He Was Wicked, I was like, what is this book? It's fabulous. Like, everybody needs to read this book.
I agree. People are missing out.
Last night, my sister finally discovered Bridgerton, the show. And she texted me. And so she was texting me all sorts of things. And she was like, which book do I need to start with? You know? And I was like, well, you normally start at one. Yeah. But anyhow, speaking of starting at one, we are talking about the first episode today of the Bridgerton show. Yay! So that episode is Diamond of the First Water. And so I'll give us all a little recap here, and then we are going to talk about that episode. So Daphne Bridgerton is dubbed a Diamond of the First Water by Queen Charlotte when she makes her debut into London's fashionable society and the Marriage Mart. Other hopeful debutantes of the season include the Featherington sisters, Philippa, Prudence, and Penelope Featherington, a, quote, comically unfortunate group of girls whose ambitious mama Portia has unrefined tastes that often result in the Featherington girls looking like cupcakes. But along with her three daughters, Lady Featherington is also sponsoring a Miss Marina Thompson, who is a distant cousin of her husband's and who the Tun are instantly taken with as well. However, Daphne's fabulous chances of success are soon squashed by our blundering brother, Anthony, Viscount Bridgerton, otherwise known as Bay, as you said earlier, who basically scares everyone off or declares them not good enough for her, all while carrying on a passionate affair with opera singer Sienna. Soon, all Daphne is left with is a Mr. Nigel Bearbrook, who is definitely a bit more sinister in this show than the books. But meanwhile, Miss Thompson has a long line of charmed suitors now that Daphne isn't really available. And one of her suitors is Daphne's younger brother, Colin Bridgerton, much to Penelope Featherington's dismay. Finally, though, some hope for Daphne arrives in the form of Simon, the newly returned Duke of Hastings and Anthony's best friend from college. He is doing his best to avoid marriage and marriage mamas at all costs, so he initially pays Daphne no heed, but after a couple of witty conversations and seeing Daphne knock Nigel out with a hearty punch in the garden, Simon suggests a scheme. To keep the mamas off his back and to make Daphne seem more desirable to the other men, Simon suggests that they pretend to have a marked interest in each other, and their fake relationship begins.
Such a great way to start a show.
I know. Now I'm ready to rewatch it.
Me too. I haven't rewatched it yet. Has anybody here rewatched it yet?
I have the first episode I've rewatched, but I'm ready to get through the whole thing again. So it's just time.
Yeah, oh, tell me about it. I'm surprised I found the time to watch the whole series, having a new infant of my own. But I did, and boy, it was really exciting to see. So I guess first reactions. What did you guys think?
Well, my first reaction was beautiful. Like, you get all these stunning costumes, and I really liked the introduction of Queen Charlotte, who wasn't a character in the book. But I really liked the introduction to her because getting presented to the Queen was such an enormous part of Regency London. So, and you know, all the, I love that they even had all the ostrich feathers in the hair, mm-hmm. which was like standard court. Like Queen Charlotte demanded that everyone wear the like ostrich feathers in the hair. So I loved that they made sure to include that like for the presentation. So, and I also just, you know, loved meeting Simon for the first time.
Yes. I was just blown away. It was just so lush and colorful and just the little, I guess, nods to the book readers that were in there in the beginning. And I just was blown away.
I think that they did such a brilliant job, even with just episode one, of introducing Regency romance to people who didn't have any clue what Regency romance was before.
Yes.
I felt like even within the first episode, you had kind of an idea of the rules of this world, right? And we've talked about on our podcast how maybe some of the rules need to be expanded, broken, bent in Regency romance. But I mean it more in the sense of this show gave you its world very clearly. You had such a great sense of the family and the world and just the setup. I mean, there were so, like you said, so many great moments. And even there were things that were absolutely straight out of the book. And then there were just things that were just in the spirit of the books. And for example, I mean, we would be remiss if we did not talk about Eloise at the bottom of the stairs screaming at Daphne, please make haste. Like, that's iconic now, not in the books, but so Eloise and so wonderful.
So Eloise and so Bridgerton sibling. Like, so Bridgerton sibling.
I know. That's when she hooked me. Like, she just grabbed my heart when she did that. I was like, that's my girl.
I think a lot of us identify with Eloise just because she's, I don't know, she reminds me a little bit of like the you know, the Belle type character, a little bit bookish, and also she wants much more than this provincial life, you know? So I definitely identify with her. And we also got a lot of butt shots in this episode. There immediately we were told, this is going to be a sexy show.
Yes. I think it was really funny because I think like with this first episode, people were like, oh, costumes and this. And then, you know, like not even 5 minutes in, you get a butt shot of someone like getting screwed against a tree. And it's just like, oh, okay. And I'm like, yeah, this happens. That's fine. People were like, there should be a disclaimer. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Do a little, just like a smidge of research. If you Google the Duke and I, you find out that it is a Regency romance novel.
Yes.
Or romance being the key word.
Exactly. It's so funny how people are turned off by Regency romance. I'm like, y'all are missing out. Because if you only knew what's in there, make your toes curl.
Seriously. Oh, yes. But also, too, I was really intrigued by this first episode because, like you said, there was a lot of nods for people who'd read the books. And so you got a lot of, like, good stuff as someone who loved the series. You're, like, seeing your characters and you're getting a lot of that. But then you also get new characters like Marina, which really intrigued you as someone who maybe loved the books and has read them. And yet you're like, okay, so this is something new for me. Like, this is taking a direction I don't know yet. So there is a little bit of mystery and intrigue for someone, even if they have read the books. It wasn't quite, I liked that they made it not so strict to the book because it gave me something to anticipate and look forward to.
Yeah, definitely. It was interesting because Marina is a character in the books, but the character that she is in the show is not completely the character that she is in the book. Her storyline is much more fleshed out in the show, and I found it super interesting, especially, you know, I'm not going to talk spoilers yet, but as the season wore on, just to kind of like see where everything goes. And I believe in this episode, which I left out of the synopsis, that we find out the twist about Marina's storyline. Cora, you've watched this more recently than I have probably, or you've watched it twice. I believe we do find out that she's pregnant in this episode.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's interesting because already in the first episode, I, again, like we were talking about from the books versus, you know, the show, which I don't want this to all be about books versus the show, but how can it not be partially when you've read the books and you're excited about it?
Yes.
which is just that Mrs. Featherington is so much smarter in the show, right? I mean, just to be frank, she's smart and cunning. Mm-hmm. And in the books, she's just literally a kind of blundering featherhead.
She's a flippity gibbet.
Yeah. A gossip with not a lot of substance, but she's got, like, you already know when you see her in this episode that she has got a lot going on and she's going to make things happen.
Well, and same thing you talk about, because you also mentioned that Nigel Bearbrick is like a bit more sinister in the show than he is in the books. And I thought that was really interesting because I was watching it and I was like, he's supposed to be an idiot. What's happening here?
Well, she was still an idiot, but...
He was, but he was a sinister idiot. Yeah, and I was like, I don't think Nigel's supposed to have that much brain power.
Add a little more depth.
I don't know how you guys felt, but I think we're kind of saying the same thing, which is that I felt like as a book reader, seeing this first episode, I felt very honored. Like as a lover of Bridgerton and as a book reader of Bridgerton, I felt like the people who created the show really honored the fans. They said, we know we have something good here. We don't need to do that much to it to make it really good, you know, for the screen. We just need to change a few things. And I was excited so far about everything that I've seen changed. I was like, why? Yeah, I was like with Nigel, I was like, why is he so sinister? And then I was like, oh, I get it. This makes more sense for what we have here. This is how it's going to move things along. This is how audiences are going to see things. You don't have, you know, 25, 35 pages to kind of write in nuance, right? When you have eight episodes. So how did you guys feel?
Oh, I really thoroughly enjoyed it. I think that, like you said, I felt very honored. They, you know, those pivotal scenes that you got in the books were present. Even in this first episode, you know, Daphne punching Nigel in the face, like when Simon's on his way to, you know, save her. And then he's like, oh, I guess you took care of it. She's like, well, yeah. You know, like that's, it was such a pivotal scene in the book. And like, I really loved that they made sure it was present there. And a lot of other things too, you know, the nods to the Featherington's wardrobe and how absolutely atrocious it was. You know, I was so...
But also beautiful.
Beautiful. Beautifully, like, gorgeously made everything. And yet it was just so what I pictured them wearing. I was like, yes, this is exactly what they need to be wearing. So I felt very... I felt that they really honored it. And then even, you know, with Violet Bridgerton stepping in with Anthony, she's like, yeah, I know you're the Viscount, but just saying... Like, you can't completely mess around. And just taking her role as mama of the clan, I loved that. So I felt very much that they had an understanding of who the characters were. And they didn't change, like, even if they change some of the side characters and their representation, the key, like, the core characters are who they're supposed to be.
What about you, Corey? How did you feel?
100% agree. I don't know. I just felt just this deep pride, like, you know, because we just love these books so much and have been anticipating this. And then just to see, you know, because I've been in other fandoms where people get so nitpicky with differences, you know, the big one that I won't mention, but these were just embraced. I don't know. I just felt proud as a fan because I just consider myself a Bridgerton fan. I just feel like they did a really good job.
I think we're all in agreement. One thing that I was really excited about, one of the things that I think fans were up in arms about before the show came out that everyone was really worried about was, and I'm going to say this without spoilers for the rest of it, so we'll try, but was the fact that Kate Sheffield, who in the books is Anthony's love interest, was not cast. And so with Marina Thompson being cast, everybody thought, oh, what are they going to do with Anthony? Is he going to go after Marina? Plus, there's also Sienna, the opera singer, who he is having an affair with here. But I'm not sure at this episode what's going to happen with that for sure. But I was really excited because when I saw Colin going after Marina Thompson and just that, like, Anthony was just in an affair with an opera singer, which, like, every Viscount is in an affair with an opera singer, right? I was so happy because it just, as a fan, made me think, okay, there's still room for Kate to happen, hopefully, because I still am very hopeful because I love her so much. We've already talked about how much you love the Viscount who loved me. Yeah, I just felt like a lot of hope and kind of, like you said, like pride watching the show.
Well, yes. And I think that, like, Anthony's affair with Sienna really needed to happen, like, in the first one, because we know he's a rake. We know that's who he is. And in this book, he's called a rake. It's why he's so rude to all of Daphne's suitors, because he's like, nope, can't be anything like me. So
did you all not think that they got Anthony perfectly?
Perfect.
Oh, spot on.
Perfect.
I think he, I mean, I love a lot of the casting. I could talk about everybody. I mean, the Duke, all I got yesterday from my sister was like, oh my God, the Duke. Oh my God, the Duke. Oh my God.
I mean, you could stare at him forever. Like, he's just saw an Instagram post of just his smile, and I was like, yeah, I could stare at that for a long time.
That's our Duke.
and the way that he just delivered the performance was wonderful and perfect. And
flawless, my dear.
Exactly. I would not want anything different in our Duke of Hastings, or really any Duke. But I was happy because I had some people who, you know, didn't know anything about Bridgerton, and they were like, yeah, I kind of don't like Anthony. And I was like, yeah, exactly.
You're not supposed to.
Yeah, he's kind of an ass and an idiot.
Yeah.
Right now. One last little note about this first episode before we kind of get into an overall discussion, which was, I really liked that my husband, who has never read Bridgerton, who really has never listened to an episode of our podcast, he said something to me during this episode that I really liked. At the end, he said, best episode of Bridgerton I've ever seen. And I thought, you know what? Me too.
Victory.
For sure. So with that, shall we adjourn to the parlor?
We shall.
So today in the parlor, we want to tell you all about The Duke Heist by Erica Ridley.
That sounds familiar. Why is that?
Well, because it was on our list of 2021 releases that we were excited for.
Ah, yes. Oh, great. And now we get to talk more about it.
Yes, we do. So for a refresher, The Duke Heist is out on February 9th, and the whole series is inspired by the TV show Leverage. So if you are a fan of that, like myself, you are going to like this series. Basically, it's Regency bad guys doing good things, like Robin Hood, but with more dukes and carriages.
The found family of the Winchesters are a multi-talented crew that were adopted by a wealthy baron with a secret mission to fight for justice from the margins of high society. There are heists and capers designed to help those who cannot help themselves and who have nowhere else to turn.
And the Winchester siblings also represent a diverse and inclusive cast in terms of sexuality, gender identity, class, race, and ableness. So many of these elements are own voices for Erica, who is biracial, Black, bisexual, and has a chronic disability.
So if you liked Bridgerton, and I imagined you're listening to this because you did, then you're bound to like The Duke Heist. Even Julia Quinn calls Erica a delight.
And I am almost done actually reading this book.
And I read it really fast.
That is exactly what I was going to talk about, which is that, you know, I've spoken a few times now that I'm a new mom and I just haven't been able to read at the same pace that I was reading before having a baby. But this book, I gobbled it up. I would love to say I gobbled it up in one sitting, but that's just not my lifestyle anymore. But I'm so close. I had such a fun time. Great characters.
Oh my God, I love them. I love all the siblings, and I love the little, like, showcasing on each of their talents. And I want to know more about them.
I can't wait for all of the other books. right? I mean, seriously, it's like, I just can't wait to learn about all of these other books. I mean, you know, you kind of think about like those heist movies like Ocean's 11 or mm-hmm. Leverage TV show. But, you know, you're going to need a grifter. You're going to need someone who can, you know, fit into small places. You're mm-hmm. going to need, you know, you're going to need all of those. Well, Erica has created characters to fit all of those things, but like also fit Regency times.
Oh, yes.
It's so cool.
I love it. I mean, there's a brother who trains animals.
Uh-huh.
And it's the best because he's just always running. Like, this isn't a spoiler. It's just a funny little bit. Like, at one point, he pops his head and he's like, has anyone seen a python? And our main character of this, our main heroine of this book is like, no. And let's hope I don't. And yes. You know, and then you have the one who's really good at throwing her voice and is and mimic. So, cool. So she's a mimic and can throw her voice. So talented.
So cool. And I would love to tell you about all of the other Winchester siblings, but we're not going to do that. You should just go read the book.
Yes, absolutely. Go read the book. It is a fun tale. You'll be able to gobble it up and you won't be able to wait for the next one.
And if you're listening to this in real time, right now you can't quite gobble it up, so be sure to pre-order your copy of The Duke Heist at your favorite store, or you can visit ericaridley.com for more info. And if you're listening to this after February 9th, then huzzah, you can just go get the book right now.
There's also a special bonus for a limited time. If you buy The Duke Heist and register your purchase on Erica's website, she'll send you a free bonus Winchester novella. Visit ericaridley.com, and we'll be sure to link that in our show notes.
Yes, we will. I can't wait to get finished. I have like 20 pages left. I'm so upset. I hate leaving a book like that, but literally I left it this morning to put my baby to sleep and then come record this. So, hey.
There you go. So luckily we can finish up and get you right back to finishing those last 20 pages.
Ooh, and maybe even before the baby wakes up. Ooh. What a luxury. So if you'd like to interact with our Bridgerton recaps on social media, be sure to use the hashtag BeMyBridgerton, and that's B-E-E, like the bumblebee.
To get in touch with us about this or any other episode, you can get in touch with us via our email, which is romancepod@gmail.com.
Find us on Twitter and Instagram at T as in Tom, N as in Nancy Strumpets, on Facebook /TNStrumpets, or YouTube by searching our name.
And if you'd really like to be in the know, you can sign up for our email notifications on our website. If you subscribe, you'll be the first to know what we're going to read each month. Plus, you'll get all sorts of extras, including exclusive content from each of the authors who join us on the podcast. Our website is romancepod.com, and there you can find episodes, more information about us, and other resources. So take a look.
And finally, if you like what you're hearing, we would just be so honored if you would leave us a review. Reviews on Apple Podcasts or on Facebook or wherever else you can review us really help other listeners find the podcast. And of course, you can also tell a friend. Word of mouth is one of the best ways that I've discovered podcasts. And again, your recommendation is a great honor. So we're back, and if you're here with us, that means that we are now going to talk spoilers for the whole episode, for the whole series, for the whole shebang. So yes. If you haven't watched the whole series and you don't want to learn anything, now's the time to pause and watch a few more episodes. You can always listen to the first half of our podcast episodes, and then once you've watched the whole series, you can come back and listen to us gab about the whole thing. So here we go.
Yes, here we go.
Okay, now Anthony and Kate, Anthony and Kate, Anthony and Kate.
Anthony and Kate, yeah. Anthony and Kate, Anthony and Kate. Okay.
That's right.
Yes, so.
I'm so glad we're on the same page with that.
I think all Bridgerton readers are, aren't we? I mean.
It's just the enemies to lovers, and just that whole, I hate you, but I want you.
I've been talking about that with everyone. I was talking about it just with my own book club girls. I was like, favorite trope, enemies to lovers. My favorite, absolute favorite trope.
There's just tension.
I could read it all day long. Yeah, the tension and the I want him, but I hate him. Mm-hmm. Favorite trope, favorite trope, favorite trope. Okay.
Yes.
So, Corey, what did you think of the whole thing? What was your impression now that, you know, we talked about our impressions of just the first episode? Did your impression change in any way by the end of Bridgerton?
No. My impression, I just became more obsessed and just started rereading the books again. Because I missed them so bad.
I love it. I know. I finished the series and I knew I was going to be talking about it and I didn't want to reread Bridgerton. But what I did want to do is I reread some other Julia Quinn classics. Mm-hmm. Like I started with The Secret Diaries of Miss Miranda Cheever and What Happens in London, which is where we get Miss Butterworth and the Mad Baron.
Coming out this year as a graphic novel.
Yeah, coming out this year as a graphic novel.
I saw that.
And, but I just was like, I watched the show and I was just like hungry for more Julia Quinn's writing and her characters. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need to just read all her books again right now.
Yeah, I have a lot on my shelf that I've gotten like from thrift stores and stuff, like the old Step Backs. But that's what I want to do this year is read all of her work. And then can we just say, like, she is on the bestsellers list again after a book that's been out 20 years? Like, how awesome is that?
They can't even print it fast enough. Like,
I think she was at number one and number four for The Viscount Who Loved Me.
Yeah.
And Tessa Dare yesterday posted on Twitter that one of her books was, I think, number, 54 in the Kindle store or something about that, but was only number 12 in Regency Romance. So like, think about that there are, 11 other Regency romances that are higher than her in the whole Kindle store right now.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
And just like there's smiles on all of our faces right now as Regency Romance fans. Like, yeah. I'm just
proud.
I'm so thrilled. Yeah, because I feel like I do feel like Bridgerton's going to do good things for Regency. Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. I know. So I've already had conversations with people who have been like, Kelsey, have you seen Bridgerton? It's like, yes. I'm pretty sure I told you to watch it. Like, I told you to watch it before it even came out. I was like, BT Dubs, Christmas Day, this new show is coming out and you need to watch it. But they've all loved it. And they're like, is it true to the books? I'm like, yes, this is what the books are. Like, you know, there's some differences, but very true to the story and the books.
I loved that when my sister texted me, she's like, I'm so curious to see what's going on with Miss Marina Thompson. I was like, I was able to say, I'm so curious too. Because even though her storyline has sort of resolved, those of us who've read the books and who know who oh my God, his name, Philip. What's his last name?
That's what I was going to say, that glimpse of Sir Philip Crane.
Sir Philip Crane.
Yes.
We know who he's really destined for because we've read the books. And Marina's storyline in the books is very heavy and very sad. Yeah. So I'm very interested to see if the show takes it that far. Mm-hmm. The show has already, gotten a lot of people talking about important things like consent. And we're going to have a whole episode on that episode. And we have someone coming on who we're very excited to have that conversation with. So, we can talk about it a little bit here. But I'm interested, if they do the full Marina storyline, which deals with postpartum depression and with suicide, then I think that will inspire some conversations, to say the least.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm very interested to see what they do with that storyline. Absolutely.
Same here.
Because they even said that while, some of our side characters, I'm assuming Marina won't be – because we now know it's been cleared for a second season. And so they are planning, they're still planning to showcase all the characters and continue their storylines, just maybe not as heavily as they were in the first season. So I am very curious to see what they do with Marina's storyline in the next season and moving forward.
Specifically from the first episode to the eighth episode, I was surprised because when I was watching the first episode, I did not know if The Duke and I, as a book, would be encompassed in the first season or if there would be three seasons, of Daphne and Simon's love story to get to the end of the book. But we got there in the first season, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Were you guys as surprised as me that they did that?
Yeah, I was like, there's no way they can wrap all that in one season. No way.
I was pretty hopeful because I mean, a show to last 8 seasons is pretty impressive. And there's 8 books. And people, and like, they knew fans of Bridgerton were going to want their 8 books and their 8 sibling love stories. So I was like, it would make logical sense for them to feature one book per season. Because, like I said, 8 seasons is a lot for a show to get greenlit for. And because of how the books wrap, and like, once again, staying true to the genre. And that's the genre. It's not that you get a love story that carries on through 4 books. You know, you get a love story that it's not a fantasy novel where you do get the never ending love story through 8 books. you know, they're very much like they end up together at the end. And so I, showcasing the genre, I was very hopeful that they were going to have the whole book in the first season, because that's what you expect from the genre itself. Like, you expect the happily ever after at the end.
I will say that I was happy to see the whole book done in this one season for 2 reasons. One, because I thought they did it justice. I thought they did a really good job. And 2, because it's not nearly my favorite book in the series.
Not either. Oh, no.
Yeah, I have like 4 others that I like more than it. But I still think it's a good book. There's definitely, you know, all the conversations around consent. But I did want to mention that if you guys are listening and you're interested in spoiling all the books for yourself or whatnot, if maybe you haven't read the books or you have, regardless, we do have episodes on each book. We do a detailed synopsis, because these are some of our older episodes and we like
really got detailed into all the details.
Yeah, now we're a little bit more succinct, but they are, you'll get a really good summary of the book and then a discussion afterwards. And if you want to learn more about Marina's storyline, that's from the 5th Bridgerton book, To Sir Philip with Love, and that is episode 28 on our podcast, so you can look for that. But I was really happy watching this show, and I'm glad everybody else was too. But what about characters? Did you guys have any breakout star characters that you really liked watching this?
Well, I mean, of course, Reggae. That's how you say it, right? I've heard him say Reggae.
Okay.
Well, then it's Reggae.
You know, because I was saying Reggae, because that just sounds more, you know, again.
And there's an accent in there somewhere.
But like I had seen him briefly, but he was not on my radar. And now I'm like wanting to watch all of his previous projects, because I just feel like he's a very good actor. So, and nice to look at. So
absolutely. I know we talk about this in another discussion, but like Benedict Bridgerton, the actor who played him, and like his whole storyline, it was really interesting, because everyone I've talked to about Benedict, they're like, yeah, Benedict in the books, like, he's nice, but like, he's not really one you like gravitate towards, versus in the show, I'm like, Benedict Bridgerton, who are you? And I want to get to know you better.
Yeah.
I am here for Queer Benedict. I am hopeful. I'm hopeful and interested to see how his love story goes. If they decide to go with him being queer, then gay or bi or whatever it is that, you know, his orientation is. I don't know if they really get to do like a season per Bridgerton. I would be sad if they kind of backed away from that queer storyline and didn't give him a full season of him falling in love, you know, as the main character, even if it's with another man, because I feel like that I don't know. I feel like that would be a bit of a double standard. Like, well, the viewers don't want to see a whole season of a queer storyline. I'm hopeful that maybe he gets season like 4 or 5. And so they really get us into it. And then they are able to do that and just give him a whole season as he deserves, falling in love. I mean, can we see a male Cinderella? I'm super into it. Like, I love An Offer from a Gentleman. I love his book. But I felt like they captured so much of Benedict's spirit in the show, and the actor gave such an awesome performance that I just want to see this other story that they're telling. I feel like there's just two Benedicts. There's screen and page, and I'm so okay with that.
Yeah, they made him much more interesting than in the book. I mean, it's not my favorite one, but yeah.
It surprised me. I've always loved it. Benedict himself in the book isn't necessarily my favorite, but there's so much in that book that's really a wonderful Cinderella story that, yeah, I'm really excited kind of just to see if that happens. And if it doesn't, then I get to enjoy the book as it is.
Yes. And I mean, I think we would be remiss not to talk about Eloise and how much you just learn of Eloise and like how feisty she is and like, Eloise, so great.
She is a lot of people's spirit animals. I've been seeing that all around, and I would probably say the same thing about her for myself. And I think also, like, for our first episode, we can't not talk about Lady Danbury. Like, she is a star. Now, I also don't know how to pronounce her name. Is it Adjoa? Does anybody know?
I'm not even going to try.
I'm not good at pronouncing names.
That sounds good. What you just did.
I feel very foolish not having figured out how to pronounce it before now. Well. But we'll make it so by episode 8. Well, actually, we won't because we're also recording episode 8 today. So peek behind the curtain. So I'll do my best, but we'll see. But she's a delight. She brings so much spirit and class to Lady Danbury as she was written.
Yeah, she's flawless. Like, she truly is. Like, I was just enamored with just her skin tone, everything. I mean, she's just like a pearl to me. She shines. She really does.
And, like, they stayed so true to that character, and I just love it. Love it.
Well, Corey, as someone who is, you know, involved in a lot of diversity projects, specifically for this genre, right? And romance, and then hopefully also Regency romance. Do you have any thoughts about how you feel Bridgerton's going to affect Regency romance?
It already has. I'm working with an author right now that is writing a Regency romance with Black characters because I'm sensitivity reading and like alpha reading it. So I think it just opened the door wide open and we're going to see much more of that.
I really hope so. I feel like, you know, I love Regency romance and I want to read about all the dukes, you know, always. But like, it is a fantasy. And, you know, we've talked about how Regency is escapist because it has a set of rules that are easy enough to understand. It's not like fantasy where you have to learn all the systems of magic and all the different like glue glogs and gleep glops, you know, that are all of these different types of, you know, races in this fantasy world. For example, I'm a huge fan of Brandon Sanderson, and I read a lot of Brandon Sanderson books. And I remember on the first book of his newer series, the Way of Kings series, it's over 1,000 pages, the first book. And I remember it took me 250 pages to just recognize like the names of some of these things again. And I remember I was so distraught when I first started reading it because I was like, this is like so heavy. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just not even going to try, and eventually I will recognize these again. I'm just not going to stress out about it. And now I've read, you know, 3,000 page books, and I have the fourth one, and I have a newborn. It's just really hard to read a book that big while you're nursing. By really hard, it's impossible. So I'll get there. But I feel like with Regency, like you have a fairly established set of rules that are easy enough to understand, but at the same time, it's fantastical. And I mean, it is because Regency romance is not, you know, historical fiction, you know, and it isn't even, you know, as true to that period as something that's written in that period. It's just not. It's fun. Yes. Romance.
Yeah. Escapism.
Fantasy.
It's romance. Book candy.
You know,
So if we can have 100 dukes, why can't we have a Black duke, or why can't we have a Jewish duke? You know, like or why can't we have two people of the same sex falling in love? Oh, wait, they did during that time period. Yeah. So, I mean, there's just a lot that I'm hoping to see. And I think that I'm hopeful that we're going to see, you know, more money put behind books like that, which is going to make better books like that.
I agree.
So anyhow, thanks, Shonda, for picking this one.
Yeah.
I think it was, you know, I know a lot of there's some discussion like was, you know, why not Beverly Jenkins or why not something that's, you know, something else, right? There's mm-hmm. so many other things that she could have chosen. Well, I don't know. Maybe this is a broad, you know, not a broad. Maybe this is a ignorant statement of me to make. But I think that this is, first of all, Julia Quinn is a brilliant writer who mm-hmm. writes just really awesome, fun, accessible books. Mm-hmm. And two, this is a really awesome introduction to this genre mm-hmm. and gives, you know, a lot of play, right, for creatives to come in. There's a lot of room to put your own stamp on it and also just make it really watchable, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term. Like, yeah. And get people to think that they like this so that more things like this can be made.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I'm just, you know, I've been in debates about, like, why couldn't it have been this author or that author? And I'm just like, why not? You know, take this story that's white characters, flip the script, and make something beautiful. You know, mm-hmm. we just want to be seen and represented. It doesn't matter what author, but yeah, I just think it was beautifully done. And I think it's opened the door for a lot. So we're going to be amazed probably just in this year.
Yes, I'm really excited to see what this year brings. And next year, maybe when we have a little less quarantine hanging over our heads. We'll, hopefully by then, thank goodness, or, you know, fingers crossed that everything keeps ramping up. I had just a couple more comments here on the episode, which was, you know, I think that as a reader, you know, there was just one thing that I was a little disappointed didn't come out in the series more, and that was the humor. Mm-hmm. I think we get a lot more humor in the books. We get a lot more wit from Lady Whistledown. Mm-hmm. I was kind of surprised by how many people really loved and Lady Whistledown. They got it from the show when I'm like, but she's even more, you know, like
she's better
more in the books. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would have been my, like, you know, disappointment. But did it take away from the show for me? No.
No.
But Julia Quinn is, like, so funny. And so
she
funny.
Is. I have a question for y'all about Lady Whistledown. Yeah. I mean, were you disappointed that they revealed her identity so soon? Or what do you feel about that?
I was a little surprised that they went ahead and did that at the end of the series. However, that being said, I have since then spoken to, like, in our episode discussions, since we're talking to so many people about it, I've now heard some interesting theories about to why they played that card so early.
I need to hear them.
As far as, oh, so the one that we talk about this in another, in a later episode, was the idea that the Featheringtons, like, with the they're being broke and the dad dying. And in the books, we know that, and by Penelope's book, we know that she's been using her Lady Whistledown money to essentially, like, fund the family. Mm. She says it's come from an aunt who, like, passed away, and that was funding the family. So that they were suggesting that maybe that comes into play next season, where we see that Lady Whistledown is so popular and Penelope using that to, like, you know, keep her family afloat, essentially.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I will. But to answer your question, Corey, I was disappointed. I was definitely disappointed because I for exactly that reason, that I felt like we hadn't really gotten the wit of Lady Whistledown. Mm-hmm. And I think it would have been really fun to have seen more, like, glimpses of Penelope in those scenes, overhearing mm-hmm. those things, you know, like, really, but very, like, very not the focus. I think, like, it would have been really cool if all those Easter eggs had been there, like, if there had been a lot of Easter eggs and a lot of signs rather than it being quite so blatant. Yeah. Because two people mm-hmm. I know, my sister and my husband, both guessed who it was before. And I was very surprised because I didn't think that there were that many Easter eggs in the show. Mm-hmm. Now, my husband guessed, I think in episode 6, and I think that's about where my sister guessed too. And my husband said, wait a minute, is Penelope Featherington Lady Whistledown? And I was like, how did you guess? And he was like, well, you named one of our chickens after her, so I figured she had to be important. And I was like, okay, well, all right, I'll give it to him. But then my sister also texted me, and she was binging the show, and it based on, you know, other texts that I was getting, I think it was around the same episode. So obviously they were planting that for you to think she mm-hmm. could be one of the options. But yeah, I was a little disappointed. I think it would have been really cool to like season 2, season 3, you know, start to notice, wait a minute, Penelope's in all these scenes. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. She's just overhearing because she's, you know, grabbing a tea cake or something or whatever it is. And to get a little bit more Lady mm-hmm. Whistledown wit in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I didn't hate that we found out. I'm excited to see,
I am too.
You know, where it goes.
Yeah. But can we also just say how great it is that Julie Andrews is the voice?
That's what I'm saying. We are blessed as fans. Like, we couldn't get a better cast. Like, struck gold. Mm-hmm.
There is not a single person that I was disappointed in. Not a single one. Like, everybody did their thing and did it so well. So, but what about you? Did you feel disappointed with Lady Whistledown reveal, or did you?
Well, just because in the books, like, I was really like, who is it? Because I could not figure it out, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if they had maybe shown her in scenes like eavesdropping and listening, but I didn't, I need to rewatch it, but I didn't see as many Easter eggs. So I guess I was just like shocked that they did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the hood coming back and her expression just didn't quite do it for me. I didn't think it was bad. Yeah. I was like, oh. I just think like her expression could have been so much more mischievous or confident rather than like, like sinister almost. Mm. But, you know, she's amazing also. Like I've said, the delivery of the line about the dress where she goes, and mine's yellow.
Bless it. That's where we Southerners say, bless her heart.
Yes. Oh, seriously, though. Yeah. I mean, bless all their hearts because they did justice to, like you said, to the fans. And I feel like they became fans. Like, everybody who's involved in the show seems to, like, really love it and believe in it. And that is a really exciting thing. Well, I feel like we could talk about this all day.
It's so natural. It was so cool.
Oh, well, you're so cool. Thank you for joining us. We're so happy to have you. And, you know, we'll have to do this again sometime, you know, about a book or something, or maybe next season of Bridgerton, because yay, there's another season. It's happening. Mm-hmm. Well, where can our listeners find you and find your projects if they want to learn more about that?
On Facebook, I am under Cori Noel. And on Instagram, I'm Cori's Corner. And on Twitter, I'm under my old handle, Curly Hair Lass.
Well, we'll be sure to link to all those in our show notes so that people can easily find you and get involved with the really amazing stuff that you're doing.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thank y'all so much. This has been a treat.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We have loved meeting new Bridgerton fans.
And if you want to do this in the future, y'all pick the book. I'll make sure I'm ready and we can dish all about it. So
perfect.
That's exciting.
That's amazing. I can't wait. But in the meantime, listeners, if you want to hear more Bridgerton content, you're in luck because we are going to be back later this week. Yes, 2 episodes in 1 week. But, you know, now that we're finally doing the Bridgerton episodes, we figured we better get them all out. So you're going to hear 2 episodes per week for the whole month of February on Bridgerton. I know. It's crazy. I've been editing like a fool. So we're getting it done. But we are going to be back next week to discuss episode 2 with Christy Carew, and she is a composer. So we're going to be talking all about the music of Bridgerton. So join us all next time.
And may all your ever afters end happily.
Strumpets is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
Hi, I'm Morgan.
And I'm Isabeau.
And we're Romance.
Weekly podcast that looks at the history of romance, desire, tropes, and convoluted orgasm metaphors by talking through the sexiest parts, weirdest parts, and in-betweeniest parts of romance novels and the romance novel adjacent.
Novels like Awaken My Love by Robin Schoen,
Never Sweeter by Charlotte Stein,
or Shayna by Kathleen Woodowis.
It's Shanna!
Shayna.
And Aisha at Last by Usman Jalaluddin.
Join us next Wednesday on your favorite podcast app. And remember, loosen your stays,
but never your principles.